Yud Ches Kislev, Monday the 26th of November, Rabbi Shaya Karlinsky, Chanukah, Illuminating the Darkness of Enlightenment.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So there's a lot of famous Torah on Chanukah, and we're going to try to illuminate a little bit of the of the things that are well known, but ain't beis medrash lo chiddush. So we know that there were three major decrees that the Greeks made against Klal Yisrael. They were okay, basically, with 610 mitzvos. There were three mitzvos that they weren't okay with. Bris Milah, Shabbos, and Kiddush HaChodesh. What's the common denominator here, and what is it about? They also prohibited the study of Torah Sheba'al Peh, in contrast to Torah Shebichtav, which not only did they encourage it, but they wanted to disseminate it by translating it into Greek. So that's also very strange here. What's the dichotomy between the Torah Sheba'al Peh that they prohibited and the Torah Shebichtav that they were very promotive of? And finally, we have the very famous question of the Beis Yosef. The miracle was for only 7 days, and Chanukah was made for 8 days. The truth is that that question is asked in a different context well before the Beis Yosef. In Megillas Tainis, so it says, Uma ro'u la'asos Chanukah shmone yomim, v'halo Chanukah she'asa Moshe b'midbar lo'asa ela shivas yomim. The Chanukah ha'mishkan was 7 days. V'chein matzinu b'chanukah she'asa Shlomo, she'lo'asa ela shivas yomim. So the Megillas Tainis is asking, why are we doing the Chanukah, the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash? Why did that take 8 days when it was done in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, in 7 days? And the Megillas Tainis gives a very, very strange answer. Says the Megillas Tainis, B'yemei Malchus Yova nichlesu Beis Chashmonoi leheichal, Ubanu es hamizbeach, the siduhu besid. So they came back in, they rebuilt the mizbeach, they plastered the walls, fixed it up. The tiknu bo clay shares, they fixed up all the clay shares. Got to get the Beis Hamikdash refunctioning. The hayu misaskim bo shmone yamim, and they were involved in it for 8 days. So it sounds like they could have finished it in 7 days, but for some reason they bedafka did it in 8 days. Okay, so we have to understand why they chose to do it differently in the rededication after Chanukah, in contrast to the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash. So we have a medrash, the Va'aretz Haisa Tohu Vavohu V'Choshech Al Penei Tahom. And the Medrash tells us that that represents the Arba Golios, the Arba Malchios, the four kingdoms that are going to control the Jewish people and the world, the four exiles. Ha'aretz Haisa Tohu, that's Bavel, Vohu, that's Paras U'Modai. Bavel, of course, is the destruction of the first temple. Modai, Paras U'Modai is the Purim story. Choshech Zeyavon, that's Chanukah. Al Penei Tahom, that's Romi, and that's the Golus we're still in, that we're waiting to leave it. So, it's very strange that Chazal call Yavan, Greek, exile, Choshech. Because, at the end of the day, Yavan was the one who gave us science and philosophy, and really everything that we have in secular wisdom today is really built on the roots of Yavan. So it's a little strange that Chazal Dafka call that Choshech, and says the Medrash there, Shehechshichu ben Einei Yisrael, they darken the eyes of Klal Yisrael. How do they do it? Kisvu al Keren Hashor, Ein Lachem Chelek BeElokei Yisrael. Listen very carefully to what they just said. Do they believe in God? Are they demonstrating a belief in God?
Yes.
Perfect. Absolutely. Ein lachem chelek be'elokei Yisrael. He exists, But ein lachem chelek, you don't have a chelek. What is that mean? What kind of a gezeira was that?
Contradiction. It said ein lachem chelek, and it said okay, so
it's not a contradiction at all. It's not at all a contradiction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. We're going to see in a minute exactly what that gezeira means about a chelek b'Elokei Yisrael.
He's talking about should say chelek b'Elokim. He wants to say b'Elokei Yisrael. That's much of that is that.
Again, he exists. He's your God. Ein lachem chelek. What does it mean? What does that mean? What does it mean that you have no chelek? He exists. So what's the idea of making a statement ein lachem chelek? Okay. So there, the Noah had three children: Shem, Cham, the Yafes. Okay. So the two Iker children were Shem and Yefes, and the Chazal tell us that Yaft Elokim li Yefes, the beauty, the external realities. And that really is the forefather, Yefet, Yaft Elokim b'Yefet, that's the forefather of the Greeks. It's the forefather of Yavan. And what was their emunah? What do they believe in? They believed in nature, the external, the physical body, the power, the minority has to be subjugated by the majority, survival of the fittest, what you see is what you get. Everything is about physical power and externals. And therefore, we have to operate within the laws of nature. And even their gods, they imputed to their gods human limitations, human lusts, etc. So according to them, the only thing that really exists is what we can observe. Wisdom is based on what we understand through our natural intellect, and that's all there is. So Chazal called that Chachma Chitzonis, because it's basically built on things that are in the outside world. What do we believe? We believe in an additional dimension. That's certainly true. There's a physical world and there's physical needs and there is a natural world. But there's also an inner dimension, a pnimius that's not observable, but that definitely exists. And what is that pnimius? That pnimius is what connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's what we would call the divine element. And every aspect in the physical world is really an outside manifestation of something spiritual and hidden. That's our ancestor, Shem. The idea of Shem is that something is representative of something that's inside, the pnimius. So when we talk about the difference between enlightenment and illumination, they both sound like they are giving light. But enlightenment taught us how things work. It worships the body, it worships nature, it gives human wisdom, progress as a material, physical, social, scientific thing. And the only realities are what I understand. That's enlightenment. But that's not illumination. When we talk about how things work, we also want to know why things work. And we talk about the body and nature, we also want to know what's inside the body. When we build a building, we have to know what's going to be inside the building. That's illumination. When we talk about human wisdom and progress, there's progress on the physical level, but there's also progress on the moral level. There's perfection. There's also in Torah this dichotomy. We have the Torah Shebichsav, which is the outside dimension of Torah, and we have Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the hidden inner dimension of Torah. And Torah Shebichsav, if that's all you have, is pure chitzonius. It has no impact on the person without the hidden inner dimension of the Torah. When the Greeks wanted to translate the Torah Shebichtav, what they did is they said, this is a wisdom, an academic wisdom, like every other chachma, like every other wisdom. And they wanted to make, chas v'chalila, they wanted to make the Torah equal to all other wisdoms, human wisdom, what do you understand? With no connection to anything hidden, with no connection to Torah Shebaal Peh, with no connection to the imperative that the study of Torah has to transform the person. It's not just physical study, but there has to be some moral transformation, some kind of a spiritual connection. That's why when we say in Al Anisim, we say Lahashkicham Torah Secha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. They weren't being Mashkiach Torah, they translated it into Greek. But it was Lahashkicham Torah Secha, the unique aspect. Ulahaviram me Chukei Ritzonecha. What are the Chukim? What's unique about Chukim?
We can't understand
them with human wisdom. That was exactly what they opposed. They opposed this idea that there's anything in reality, that there's any truth that isn't rooted in human wisdom. Esav is also part of the ancestor, and one of the things that Chazal tell us about Esav, in modern terminology we would say it's WYSIWYG. The old days of computers, it was called what you see is what you get. Everything is on the surface. Everything is chitzonius. Okay? And that's the only reality, whether it's in the human being or in nature. The Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, they believed in a hidden dimension. They believed that after there's a physical world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to interact. And this was what was opposed by the Greeks. The idea that there can be something called Kedusha, sanctification, within physical acts. And the three mitzvot, Bris Milah, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh, each one represents a sanctification of another dimension of reality. Of course, Bris Milah represents the sanctification of the body. And Bris Milah represents the capacity for man to overcome his physical instincts, his physical lusts. That's contrary to Greek ideology, because in Greek ideology, it's pumfarkent. Man is supposed to follow his physical drives. That's the man. So Bris Milah says we have the capacity and the responsibility to overcome our instinct and our physicality, to sanctify the physical. Shabbos talks about the sanctification of creation. At the end of the day, Shabbos is our statement. Osi benu ve'minuzel ki sheshes yomi aso Hashem es ha-shamayim ve'asa aretz. Uvayom hashvi'i shavaz vayinafash, that the world has a creator, and Shabbos represents the purpose of creation. The world has a purposeful creation. So that's a hidden dimension. That's the sanctification of the Bria, of the world. And then Rosh Chodesh, of course, is the sanctification of time. The fact that man has the ability to have an impact, a spiritual impact on time, and these are things that again were completely denied. They go to the root of the machlokas, of the fight between Klal Yisrael and the Greeks. So the world, in their perspective, was created, and they can accept that it was created by God. But after it was created, all we have is the physical. So therefore, he has no input. Everything that happens after the world was created is pure nature. Cause and effect, physicality, power is what controls. What do we say? What does sanctification mean? That there's an ongoing relationship, an ongoing connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man, and that man's behavior in the physical world has impact on the spiritual world. It has impact on a hidden dimension, which then comes back to influence the physical world. It's a bilateral relationship between man and God through spiritual activities that ultimately influence the physical. So, the number 7 occurs over and over and over again. It's probably the most common number. It's the number of days in the creation of the world. It's days of the week. It's the days of Sukkot and Pesach. It's the 7 weeks of the Omer cycle. The number of years in Shemitah. The number of Shemitahs in Yovel. It's the number of days a woman is considered a nida, and the seven nikiyim in for zav and zava. It's a number that is connected to nature. Says the Maharal. That's part of the... Everything is a cycle of seven. Says in the physical world, says the Maharal, because the world is basically a six-directional reality. Up, down, right, left, and forward, backward. A cube. And this number seven is the midpoint, the spiritual dimension that holds all of that together. But that's all in the physical world. So there is a spiritual component in the physical world. 70 nations, we bring 70 parim on sukkahs for them. When Bilam brought sacrifices, he brought seven. That's all the number seven. What about the number eight? The number eight we only find in a couple of places. Of course, we find number eight, Bris Mila. We find it in Shmini Atzeres and Shavuos, both of which are really the 8 days of the Regalim. Shmini Atzeres is obviously the 8th day of Sukkot, and Shavuos is really the 8th day of Pesach. The Ramban talks about that. And we find that both Shmini, well, Sukkot is a universal holiday, Shmini Atzeres is only for Klal Yisrael. And Shavuos Matan Torah is only for Klal Yisrael. The number eight, says the Maharal, is not the spiritual dimension of the physical world, but it's a dimension that transcends the physical. That's why Bris Mila really is not imbuing the physical with spirituality, with Kedusha, but it's a statement that we can transcend the physical reality. Right? And that's reserved uniquely for Klal Yisrael. This is Klal Yisrael. So the conflict between the Jews and the Greeks was whether this dimension of spirituality, does it exist or not? Is there an ongoing connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does man's actions in this world, do they have an impact on anything beyond physical? Do moral actions make a difference in the physical world? And this is the chiddush of the Jewish people that it does. And this is what the Greeks could not tolerate. The internal moral perfection controls the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls history based on the moral behavior of the human being, as opposed to the world being controlled by purely external actions. So all of our exiles, they tried to kill us. They tried to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They tried to kill us. What did the Greeks do? They didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They left it standing. When they came in and they found the oil, they didn't pour the oil down the drain. They were metameit. Timu kol hashmanim. What kind of a behavior is that? Well, tuma and tahara, when you have something that's tame or tahor, looks exactly the same on the outside. It's the inner dimension, it's the spiritual dimension that has been changed. And Rav Shlomo Shmuel Feil Hirsch teaches us the idea of Tuma Tahara. We find Tuma always associated with death or natural processes over which man has no control. So when you are confronted with physical realities over which you have no control, the next step is the assumption that you also have no control over your own physical actions, your lusts and your behaviors. Everything is physically generated. So tuma is hidden. The word tam is to close off. Tahara is in Aramaic tzohar, which means illumination. Tuma is a misconception. Tuma darkens the world because it makes us think that we're not in control. Says Rav Shlomo Shmuel Feil Hirsch, that's why we have to have 7 days of tahara to realize that no, when you confront death, which you don't have control over, you shouldn't make a mistake to think that you don't have control over your own physical actions. Your physical actions, you have bechira chofshis. You have free will. So, timu kol hashmanim is the Greek statement that no, everything operates on a purely physical level. So what they're really saying is universalism. There's no difference between you, Jew, and us Greeks. That's why they were misyavnim. We want you to be like us. We don't want to kill you. You are like us. On the surface, a Jew looks and goes through the physical world exactly like a non-Jew. We have to eat the same food, kosher of course, but we have to eat and we have to sleep and we have to do business. And we're doing on the physical level exactly the same thing. So the idea of blurring the differences between the Jew and the non-Jew. That Torah is just another academic book, and yes, we want to bring that in to the library. We want to bring that in to the university. We want to bring that in to the academy. That's the Torah Shebichtav without any inner dimension, without Torah Sheba'al Peh. So our laws of cause and effect, are they simply limited to human behavior of cause and effect? Or is moral behavior also part of the cause and effect? Is Judaism just another way, maybe even a better way, to run society than a non-Jewish way? Or is there something fundamentally different between the Jew and the non-Jew? There's a God, but He's up there and you're down here. There's no relationship. There's no connection. And that's why they didn't want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, they used it for their own purposes without destroying it. It was Tuma because that is an inner dimension. That's the hidden dimension that they deny and that to us is so fundamental. So they come into the Beis HaMikdash, it's defiled. So they're dafka spending 8 days rebuilding it, not 7 days. Because they're showing that there's something transcendent that's unique to the Jewish people. That number 8 represents the ability of man to transcend nature, to go beyond, not just to bring a certain spirituality, a certain meaning. The Greeks also want meaning in life. But the meaning is a very physical meaning. It's power. It's beauty. That's meaning for them. So we 8 represents the ability to transcend the physical. And therefore, bedafka, it was 8. So again, the Beis Yosef, I believe, is a book with 101 terutzim on the Beis Yosef's question. And those are all technical answers. What the Megillas Tainis taught us is a fundamental answer. Is that the whole nature of Chanukah, it's the only holiday, every Chag in the Torah is 7 days. Pesach, Shavuos, we have nothing that's 8 days. Shemini Atzeres is 1 day and Shavuos is 1 day. Chanukah is the only holiday that we have that's 8 days. And that 8 is representative of Lemala Min HaTeva, something that goes beyond the nature. So, when we study Torah, if the Torah doesn't change us, if the Torah isn't something that transforms us, then it's just another book. And that's what the Greeks wanted. And we have to make sure that the Torah that we study is a Torah of Pnimius, that it's a Torah that is connecting us to something beyond us, that when the Hanukkah candles are lit, what they're illuminating is the darkness of appearance. What can be more darkening than seeing something and getting it wrong? The famous example that Moshe Chaim Lutzato uses, a person walking in the dark can make 2 mistakes. He can bang into something because he didn't see it. There's even a bigger mistake. He can see something and think it's something else. He can see something and think that it's something different than what it is. 2 problems when you're in the dark. You bang into something that's there, or you mistake something for something else. That's the Greek approach to the world. You look at nature, and it looks like something. But if you get it wrong, well, if you're in darkness and you don't understand the inner dimension, the spiritual dimension, the hidden dimension, the pnimius, then you're going to get it wrong. And that's darkness. So when Chazal tell us Sheikhshichu Einayim Shel Yisrael, that Yavan Zechoshech, it's because they took the world And there is a reality. And all they did is they looked on the surface. And they got it wrong. There can be nothing more darkened than that. And what the Hanukkah lamps, the Hanukkah candles, the miracle. Again, there was a miracle that wasn't necessary. Rav Dessler talks about this. The miracle wasn't necessary. Tuma hutra b'tzibur. They could have lit tamei oil. But they realized at the time that they're in a crisis situation and we have to make a statement. And the statement is that we can't rely on anything and we have to... It's almost like they forced HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring a miracle to show that in that oil is embodied something hidden, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls even the laws of nature. And depending on our moral actions, history and the natural world responds to the Jewish moral behavior. That's the chiddush of the illumination of Hanukkah. We're illuminating darkness. The nature looks like it runs on its own. And Hanukkah tells us there's an inner dimension. That's where we are different. And it's on the surface we're the same. And on the surface, they demanded, they saw the surface, so they demanded universalism. And we have to remember that the hidden dimension is what makes us different. That is the secret of Hanukkah. That's the challenge of Hanukkah in a generation that is really awash with complete superficiality and only focused on externals.